Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 684. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Thank you for that lovely introduction, Mr. Putin. Thank you.
Look, I did not stumble through the intro. Okay, you know, let's keep comparing me to Biden every week. Earl is here as well.
And I am also just going to put it out here that Kamala Harris is not replacing me on this podcast.
Good.
Contrary to what her poll numbers may or may not be. I'm in it for the long run. So,
yeah. I think on this podcast, you're probably outpolling Kamala Harris. Just saying.
You never know.
I'd vote for you. I'd vote for Kamala Harris, too, if she were I'd vote for a trash can.
I get that, people. I mean, honestly speaking, at this point, if he's dead, I'm still going to vote for him over the other guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'll vote for a plastic skeleton. I don't care. Like, it's better than Trump. And Jeff is here.
Look. Listen. Really think about it.
Relax.
Hit Medicare. You know what I'm saying? Right?
No.
Anyways.
Might be the issue.
Anyways.
Good. Good to know. Medicare. That's what Jeff's saying. Yeah, it's been a week. A weird week. Xbox raised the pricing and changed some tiers and did some weird shit with Game Pass. What do you guys think about that?
I didn't realize. At the end of the day, like, the very short headline of that is, like, they're raising prices.
Yes.
Yeah. I did not realize, like, how many tiers and, like, options there were in Game Pass, because I was, like, frantically messaging Chris, like, because one of the things that they said is, like, Game Pass for consoles is going away or is being shuttered. I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? People who already have it can use it. Are you telling me that people like cannot sign up for Game Pass on Xbox? And no, it was just some tier of Game Pass that I did not even know existed in the first place is they're getting rid of.
Well, I think it's new.
Well, so
no, it's not new. They're getting rid of.
Yeah, there was Xbox, like console only Game Pass. There was PC only Game Pass.
Yes.
There was Game Pass Core, which was just Xbox Live.
Yes, rebranded.
And I think what Jeff and I figured out is that console only Game Pass was Game Pass with day one games, but no online play.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just didn't know that was an option, and I guess I just don't care.
Right. do any of the four of us not have Ultimate?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I
like, I don't know why you wouldn't pay for Ultimate. Like, it's just like, it's not that much more expensive. It comes with all those benefits. And
I could see how somebody, like, I mean, we're pretty tuned in. I could see how, like, one of my friends would just be like, I got an Xbox. I'm going to get Game Pass. And
yeah.
Like,
to be fair, I think it's easier before they rebranded it because it's very clearly Xbox Live and then Game Pass are two different services.
Yeah.
But now you have Xbox Live. I mean, you have Xbox Game Pass Core and Xbox Game Pass, which you would think if you have Xbox Game Pass Core, because you actually don't get the Game Pass features with that.
You get like some weird features with it. Like it's basically PS Plus, the low tier version of PS Plus, where you get some games, there's like a list of games, and you'll get those, but you don't get everything in Game Pass.
Yes.
Honestly, like all these tiers and this and that, it reminds us, because like that has the confusing, like, here's what you get if you pay this price and this and that. And it's like, ultimately, if you can afford it, why not just get the good, you know, everything so you don't have to think about it? Which is right. where I'm at, but like, now that it's $20 a month to get that good thing, I'm fine with it. I'm fine, but like, every time you go up, you're pricing some people out of it, and I kind of worry about it, because all every streamer, everything, like every
everybody's raising prices.
It's another $2, and it's like, how much higher can you get with the Game Pass before I'm like, you know what, maybe it's not as good as deal as I thought, because you know Microsoft is only putting out X number of games per year that I care about.
Maybe it becomes a deal where it's like, I'm going to cancel you right now, but when you release the new Gears, I'll come back. Or you release, you know, Indiana Jones, you come back. Like, you, I mean, I know people do that. I am terrible at it. Like, I should cancel Netflix, but
I have a friend, and he will, like, all right, the next 2 months I have Netflix, and I'm going to catch up on everything I missed on Netflix. Then I'm canceling that. I'm moving to Hulu. I'm going to catch up on everything I did not see on Hulu. And I'm like, that is incredible discipline.
There's no way.
I am so terrible at that.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah. You know, $20 a month, like, they haven't priced me out yet. I think it's still a good value. But that's kind of, I don't know. The big thing on this is, yeah, prices are going up. I don't know what else, like. The only thing, is, I was just like, wait, what? They're canceling this one. They're canceling part of Game Pass, but it's something that probably very few people used anyways.
Which, that's
likely. Yeah.
That would be why you cancel it, right? Like, well, people aren't really using this version, so we're going to, like, fold it into this new thing. And, like, and basically, if you were going to use this thing, we're going to make it less incentivized for you. Because now you're not going to get Avowed. You're not going to get Indiana Jones. Like, you're going to have to pay for those games. You're still going to get games, which is great. Like, but you're not going to get the brand new games. If you want that, you got to pay the extra $5.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that. I want the new games. And I don't know. It seems like overly confusing and convoluted for no reason, but to have the different options for people is fine. I'm fine with it, you know. Like,
I don't think it's the option. I think once you start having to, like, again, like, for people like us who kind of understand, once you start having to do, it's the same issue we have with PlayStation Plus Essentials, and PlayStation, what I said, Premium, whatever the three tiers are.
I have no idea. I just bought the most expensive one because it was like, I know that has everything. Like,
yes. But if you're a parent, and it's like, what do I need?
Absolutely.
And that can go.
I could tell you from my GameStop days that when parents get confused on something like this, and you give them the answer, they are going to hear what they want to hear.
I'm sure they are. But that's also, I mean, you know, people always talk about, like, the Wii U, and it's confusing with this name. And what it is, it's kind of the same thing, just on a much, on a smaller level in some regards, but also in a more impactful way.
Well, all they do, it happens, is they buy their kid the wrong version of the Game Pass. Their kid tells them that they're fucking assholes and they hate them, and they go to their room and start crying.
And Jeff, not speaking from experience.
I was that little kid. Fuck you, Mom!
Jesus. I have seen those videos. It's like, this is kind of insane. that's ultimately what it is. There was some, it's like, anytime prices go up, and there is a discussion over value. I think that's fair. Like, that's, everyone's gonna have different value points, but everybody now going the doom and gloom of Xbox, like, oh, Xbox, been 0 days since Xbox stepped on a rake again. Like,
And
to be fair, and I think we've had this conversation before in slightly different regards, one of the things then becomes, like, the quantity of their releases. If you don't have as many releases, like, you know, like, that is part of the value ask, is like, you are having all of these games come out and we're not getting that. So, like, what am I actually paying for? What's the increase for? And I think that's a totally fair question to ask.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that has come up from the price increase, is okay, now we can start questioning. Like, yes, it comes out in September, so it's easier for them to say, you know, like they have Indiana Jones by then. You know, they have a few games out for the end of the year. So
their fall is huge this year. It's probably the biggest fall that they've had
on this system, yeah.
A decade. Like, I don't know that Microsoft has released this many games at once.
But can they keep that momentum going? Because it is it's not just a value ask now, it's a value ask every year.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the reality of any streaming service too, though. It's like, is this worth me holding on to?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, people are more disciplined than some of us, where it's like
we're not
they will cancel it.
I think that's way too much effort. Like, I will cancel if there's a better deal that comes along. Like, I usually cancel Peacock because, like, you can usually get it for, like, $20 for the basic tier for a year. I'm like, yeah, that's saving me a crap ton of money. I'm going to do that.
Meanwhile, I'm paying $5 like a sucker every month.
Yeah, that's a sucker.
Or it's probably $6 now. They probably upped it on me. I don't even fucking notice anymore.
To be fair, yeah. That
magic happens, $7 just evaporates from your account.
Oh, yeah.
And Netflix is one thing, but that happens with my Apple TV account because I don't use that often. And like every month they charge me, I think it's $10 now. I'm like, right, I still have this.
You every should watch. There's I'm some like, good shows, Earl. There's some good shows.
I've watched a lot of their shows. I've watched Ted Lasso. I've watched After Party. I've watched Loot. I've watched, what's this? Not Psych. What is the one with Harrison Ford?
I know
what one you're
talking about. I know what you're talking about. They have good shows too, though.
Yeah. What? That show's fantastic.
They also have good shows.
They have good shows. What show is Harrison Ford in? I didn't realize he was.
It's like a shrink one, right? Like,
yes. Maybe it's called Shrink?
I think it's called Shrinking, maybe?
Shrinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Shrinking? It's him and Jason Segel.
Okay.
You didn't like that show, Jeff?
No, I didn't watch it. I watched other sci-fi.
It's good. It's so
good. I could see Jeff as a Severance person, which I do still need
Severance
to watch.
Is awesome. Did you watch it?
I've not watched it yet, and I got it. I got time. Apparently, season 2 is not coming out until next January.
Yeah, I know. Severance is good, but they had a show that just aired called Dark Matter that was really cool, man. Really fun. Oh.
Yes, they also had what was it that I watched recently? Not recently, Mystic Quest.
I've heard of that one.
It's the one with the guy from the League, Always Sunny, who runs a game studio.
Charlie Day.
Is it Charlie Day? I thought Charlie Day was the other one, the guy that was in Pacific Rim.
I mean, he is. I think he is the one in Pacific Rim.
No. It's the one. It's Mac.
Okay.
Rob something or another.
McElhaney.
Yes.
Charlie Day helped create Mystic Quest. Him, Rob McElhaney, and somebody else. Oh, Megan Gans, who is a producer on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes. But yes, I use my Apple TV. Honestly, at this point, I think my friend has access to it. And I'm just like, yeah, somebody's using it. Somebody's getting my $10 worth.
I used to make fun of Apple TV and call their shows not real because nobody watches them. But again, I've seen like at least 3 shows now on there that I like really, really enjoyed. So
The thing with any streaming service is I think there's going to be content that's worth watching.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Yeah,
it's like, is it worth watching? Like your friend, I do think like there are Peacock. I mean, Peacock's a different beast for me because it has Russian, so I'm always using Peacock at least once or twice a month. But like outside of that, like I can't tell you outside of Russian, I can't tell you how many original shows I've seen or movies. Though they are usually pretty good at like having who's that? NBC Universal. Like their movies, like they, you know, when they did Halloween Ends and Halloween Kills, they did Megan. So like their movies come out within like 2-3 months of theatrical release. But like show wise, yeah.
Yeah.
Paramount Plus, I honestly try to, I mean, I have my friend's Paramount Plus, but I try to force myself to find stuff to watch on that.
Yeah.
I don't use it that often.
No.
What else?
It makes it hard to recommend things to people because you're like, you know, like I'm a coworker, be like, any good shows you've been watching recently? It's like, yeah, Dark Matter is great on Apple TV. Oh, I don't have Apple TV. Oh.
Yeah, it's like, oh, did you watch this show? It's on Hulu, or did you watch this show? It's on Netflix.
I always if it's good enough, like it's worth getting a month, like paying the whatever the $5 to watch the show. You know what I mean? Like, but it's just like hard ask. If they're already bought in on it, then it's like, yeah, they'll check it out. But to tell somebody to sign up for something is like tough.
Which is why people are more willing to give Netflix stuff a try, because most people already have access.
Everyone has it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, where it's like, oh yeah, you're for, you know, like the whole thing today, even though it's not confusing, I understand. Right, we, you know, like the HBO and Max stuff, where it's like, oh, this show's going to HBO. So it's like, no, I understand. The confusion is the branding around it, but like it just means that it's going to air on TV. And it will air the same time as Max. I mean, that's how I watch House of Dragons and Game of Thrones, but it did, because they would simulcast or not.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So is that what's happening with those?
Yeah.
A couple of shows. So, like, I mean, for me, it didn't matter, right? If you're going to show something on HBO and not on Max, I'll just watch it on Hulu because that's where my HBO sub is at. Mm-hmm. So they'll be showing it on, they'll show it on HBO Live and then put it on Max like immediately
at the same
time. At the same time.
So 8 p.m. or I guess 9 p.m. for you guys, House of the Dragon comes out. It's on Max right then.
As soon as 9 p.m. hits on Sunday night, House of Dragons is on the service. Yeah. I mean, they've done better. Like in ages ago, it used to be like sometimes it would get hammered, so it would be stuttery. But like, yeah. And so it's this. The difference is, and again, the branding is that this just means, because you know, HBO in itself is still mostly a movie channel. It still shows blockbuster movies and stuff like that. They don't have time. They don't show all of the HBO, the Max original shows, which is fair. I mean, you don't necessarily want like a Discovery show, some crappy reality TV show on HBO. This just meant like these shows were probably sold as part of Max packages internationally, which is what they said. So probably Crave would get it. You know, maybe Hulu or Stars in, you know, the UK or something like that. This just means that, like, oh, we saw these shows and we think they're good enough that they can air on HBO every week. So, you know, the downside to that for some people, I guess, it might change the schedule in a bit. It might have been like, oh, this would be a lot of streaming shows tend to drop midweek. So HBO tends to do Sundays.
Sunday night, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's what it would be. But yeah, it would still be, you get it the same exact time. It just means another avenue.
I'm thankful for that because, like, this last Sunday, we were watching the finale and we went into like, it was like 20 minutes into what House of Dragons would have been. But I just went to the Max app and started it from there. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. It works great. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Is there any other news you guys caught? Nothing really caught my eye.
I mean, I don't know if it's news because is it news? But who is Emmy? Emmy-O?
Oh yeah, that's news. That's cool. What the fuck?
I mean, it is news, but it isn't in the sense that we don't know anything. But yeah, what
are we talking about?
So Nintendo yesterday dropped a teaser on the social media account. With just the question, who is Emo? E-M-I-O.
Basically, they teased like a horror game from them.
Yes, and that's all we got in so far. So, of course, being as Nintendo, it's an M-rated or PG, you know, a PEGI 18 or whatever, you know, local game. And the fact that they teased, not only did they tease it, it was on all, like, it was Nintendo UK, Nintendo Japan. And it's just like a maybe, 10-second teaser of like a dude in a...
looks like a paper bag.
A smiley paper bag with a very kind of horror gothic vibe. And that was all we got. So now it is like, what is this? Who is this? What's this game? You know, there's internet detectives and stuff like that. Some people think it might be a project they're working on with Jumper Team, who I believe did the Silent Hill 2 remake.
They are doing the Silent Hill 2, yeah.
As far as I can tell, they are not the most beloved studio in the world. But it's just one of those things that's very unorthodox, not like Nintendo, to just have such a vague tease for a title. And, you know, they're known for such family-friendly fairs that people are just more intrigued by this horror-adjacent game.
Yeah, it's not like... Again, they post that, you know, they've done things in this realm before, but yeah, it's just so rare. You're like, ooh, what are they up to? And I guess on this is that, like, the trailer in Australia gave, you know, a rating for the game, being like it's restricted rating or whatever their rating system is. And they said for violence, cruelty, domestic abuse, and suicidal themes. Like, so, yeah, it's like a hard M game coming from them.
All right. I mean, that's fascinating. Did they give a date or?
Again, all it is was that who is
the guy.
Lots of speculation. But yeah,
that's why I said it's news, but not news, because it is it's something people are talking about, but like, they've not followed up with it. Is it going to be something they do once a week? I didn't know if it was like, oh, they're going to do it like every hour. So it's like one of those things that just kind of becomes intriguing because it's more mysterious than anything. And again, it's not for a company that tends to be shrouded in secrecy. They don't tend to be mysterious, if that makes sense. They are very upfront. Like, here's a new Mario game. Like, they might not
when they announce exactly, something. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is like, this is nothing. And it's not like, you know, like, maybe you can go through their IPs and like, oh, it might be, maybe it's an Eternal Darkness too, who knows? But like, there's not a lot in their background where it's like, oh, it's a revival of this IP or something. So yeah.
Yeah. I did see something earlier in the week that I forgot to bring up. Embracer is shutting down Piranha Bytes. They are the developer behind the Risen games, which were kind of like first and third person RPGs. They also did Gothic and a recent RPG called Elix that had two games. They were acquired by Embracer in 2019, and as part of their purging, because they made terrible purchases and don't have any money, they are shutting down yet another developer. So, goodbye, Piranha Bytes.
Woohoo! Wait, no. I mean, boo.
No.
Oh, no, boo.
I think that's it for news. Tony, I logged into Xbox the other day.
Yes.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick, I think this is news this week. The announcement of a new 3D Double Dragon game from
Yoink. Yes. What?
A Double Dragon. So the old school 2D beat 'em up, side scroller beat 'em up. Yes, you are correct, Earl. That is news for this week. That is not. I don't know. I think we have to see it, right?
Well, we did see it. It looks graphically, it looks like they like the Street Fighter 5 and 6 style.
Yeah, which is fine.
What is it called?
Double Dragon Revive. Yeah, I could drop a trillion in the. But yeah, it was. I think it was teased like yesterday or two. It was teased sometime recently. Sorry, I'm foggy brain.
Sometime in the last 24 hours.
Yes, and then I think a teaser announcement trailer came out today, and it's very much, again, it looks very much like somebody's like, you know, that Street Fighter style really worked for them, so let's borrow that for our new game, which, I mean, to be fair, works.
Okay, so I didn't realize that a trailer would come out, but this doesn't look awful, at least the static images I'm looking at.
No, but I'm very curious, because again, it's more like a fighting game.
Yeah.
Than it does like a beat 'em up.
It also is in 3D, but it also seems like
It's like 3D models and like a 2D.
Yeah, like you're not moving on it. Very much like a fighting game, like you said, Earl. Like, you're moving on a straight line back and forth as opposed to around a 3D space. So more like a 3D game, but that plays like Double Dragon, which could be good. Some weird special powers that they have, though. I just want to know, can I pick up a baseball bat?
Right? Probably. I think you have to. It's not Double Dragon if you can't.
Right. Somebody going to come and punch your girlfriend in the stomach and then just carry her off, and you have to go through four levels to rescue her. Yeah. So Double Dragon Revive, you said?
Yeah.
Earl? It's Tony.
Yes.
I logged into Xbox, and I saw either you or I know your kids play under your profile, but somebody was playing Immortals of Avium.
That was me. That was definitely me.
So how is Immortals of Avium?
What is the title?
So a year ago, Jeff, you may remember EA announced a game that looked like, it looked like Call of Duty, but magic with magic. Yes. That was kind of the talking point of it.
I do not remember.
Okay. So that came out in August. It was called Immortals of Avium.
Yes.
Okay.
And Tony's playing it.
It was on Game Pass, right?
Yes. It is now on Game Pass, yes. So you can play it now and experience the wonder that is Immortals of Avium. I don't know that it's 10 out of 10, but it's like 7 out of 10. It's very entertaining. Cool. So you play as this guy who can use magic. Apparently everyone in this world can use magic. And like, magic is quite similar to using guns for some reason. So it's, the game gives you like, it starts you off with three different attack spells that have different effects. One is a ranged attack that is very similar to like a rifle. One, you switch to your like that is your blue magic. You switch to your green magic, and it is very similar to like a submachine gun. Like you can shoot it very quickly, but again, very very similar to a gun. Or right. You could switch to your red magic, which is very very similar to a shotgun. I
assume that there's like a mana charge or like
so for those it's sort of there's this weird like ammo stuff like you can shoot those forever. There are also like larger spells you can cast that you have a charge of like three, so you can cast three of them.
But they're one grenades.
They're very like situation specific. There's one that is like an area effect grenade. There's one where if the enemies are like behind shields, you can use it's called Shatter, and it shatters the shield.
That's cool.
And there's more you can unlock, I'm assuming, as you go along. But yeah, it basically just takes like what you would expect from maybe even like a monster based shooter, because there are like boss battles against like large creatures or enemies that are much bigger. But it's definitely like a shooter. That's just replaced the shooting with magic. It's entertaining. It's fun. The story is good. It's level based, so you're like playing through levels as opposed to like an open world or whatever. Again, it's a very fun B tier type game. I think the magic is kind of a missed opportunity. Like if you're doing I want to actually do magic. Like I want to do creative things on the back. There's really no creativity. It's literally just magic replacing guns. Which I mean, if you like shooting, like I like to play shooters. That doesn't bother me.
Right.
But it if it wanted to be like a great game, and this is like the thing that makes me a little sad for this studio, which I can't remember if they're getting rid of them or they've downsized them or whatever happened to them. But I know the game didn't sell well, and it's a decent game. Like it's fun to play. But nobody bought this game. but I would recommend playing it. It's quite enjoyable. It does have like the first chapter of the game has one of the most like It's the chapter that like defines your character, defines their motivation for going forward. It's one of the more horrifying ones I've experienced. But given what happens to him to, you know, motivate him to do what he does later on.
Right.
Again, if you wanted to, I won't spoil it because again, it's free, it's easy to play, and I would recommend you give it a shot. But I was playing through this. I can't believe they did that to him. I felt so bad for him as a character. It was a lot. It was definitely a lot.
Yeah, I think I when they first announced it, it seemed like a cool idea. So
yeah,
I kind of want to take a look at it. Ascendant Studios, the developers behind them. I don't know. This report from PC Gamer says that they furloughed most of its staff back in April. EA is evidently diverting all net sales revenue to the studio. I guess like they published it, but it was published under one of their banners or whatever.
Yeah,
because they don't own Ascendant Studios, so. I guess EA is trying to like prop them up by sending all the money there. That was a news story in May, but it doesn't sound like it's good for, good for them.
Yep. I feel bad for them. Cause again, it's like those, it's the B tier game that has a really hard time surviving these days.
And it hit it such a shitty time too. I think it either launched like a week after or like just days after Baldur's Gate 3 hit PC. Yep.
That was not good timing.
And like in August, so it's also going up against another EA game with Madden. And then shortly after that was Starfield and then Baldur's Gate 3 on consoles. did not hit a good window. It's a shame.
I mean, realistically, if they had priced it better, like if they hadn't launched it as like a full title, like if they'd been like, here's a nice $20-$30 experience or whatever, it might have sold better. Like more people might have played it and it got more like word of mouth.
Yeah.
I think. Which is something I think a lot of these studios or these publishers forget nowadays. It's like if you price games, I look to Ubisoft with like them bargain pricing some of these like Assassin's Creed and Prince of Persia, like to put them in a place where people would try them is like a more impulse purchase. Because $70 is a lot for a game, and you don't want to like lock out your entire customer base by picking a price point where it's too high for them to just buy it to try it.
Yeah, and like even at $50, that's a lot, but more like, you know, there's more of a chance that somebody's going to jump at it. I think you're right, Tony, like 20 or 30. And I think people forget that, what was it, 2K Sports? Was it? I think it was 2K5. They released $20.
Yeah, those games were like way cheaper than their competitors.
Yeah, and like that was why it was successful, because otherwise, like Madden was the game in town. They released a kick-ass football game for $20 and were like, bring it, and people bought it. Yeah, I think variable pricing should be way more used.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something we talk about all the time. The problem is variable pricing goes one way, which is like, oh, we can make our game more expensive. But yes, it should be used like, oh, you know, maybe this is not going to be a great game. Or like, yes, I mean, if it was a more competitive market to undercut the competitors, because I mean, you mentioned Madden, and then what Madden did was like, we're just going to buy rights from the NFL so that everybody else can make football games.
And hasn't that worked out well for everyone?
Yep.
Well, everyone that is named the NFL.
Yeah,
because they get an exorbitant fee from EA every few years, and they don't have to do it. They don't have to do any extra work. Earl, you play anything this week?
Nothing new. More Paper Mario, more Biathro, another Picross game. I downloaded something. I tried it for like 20 minutes, but I wanted to put more time into it. I think I was telling you folks about this last week. Megaton, I forget the name of it, but I need to put more time into it. Right now, I didn't like the time I put in, but I paid $30. I've got to figure out more time to see if I actually do come around to it. But first impressions were not great, so we'll see.
Playing more Hunters?
I have. Again, still enjoyable, still really fun. I think, you know, one of the benefits, like we said, it's just because the matches are so quick that you don't necessarily care that it's not the most in-depth or real, because your terrestrial meter fills up really quickly, for example.
Yeah, you get to use it at least once every match. Sometimes twice.
I was about to say, because especially if you run and get like the purple stuff right away, you do a lot of damage. I've done matches where I've had it two or three times in the span of that 5 minutes, just because. Like again, also if you die, again, I'm not really branched out too far from other characters, but my guy, because again, he's supposed to be a tank, he's supposed to be in the front, but like a lot of people don't. They just kind of go after points, like, you know, like the capture. I'm like, I just hang nearby, just shoot them. By the time they figure out where I'm coming from, my gun's going to eat through you because it has a ton of ammo and it has decent range. So,
and you have a shield.
Yes.
Basically double up your hit points.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, somebody else is nearby. Or like I think one of the Jedis can block shots, but I mean, you're blocking shots. Again, at some point, it's just going to penetrate through your lightsaber, or somebody else is going to come up behind you. So,
yep.
It's a broken character so far. I've not really found many counters to it. So,
I think if you run up against a coordinated team, they're really good at putting hits on you from the front and then coming around behind you because you don't have a shield there.
Which should be the strategy. Like, right. Like I said, I'm the tank. I should be in the front. I should be with my team, and I should be the one. But a lot of times, my team just do their thing, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm just gonna. Because it's where's the old adage? Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, and I think that happens a lot in these games where people kind of. I don't know about mobile. I assume the same thing with mobile because this is a Switch game. There's not a ton of communication. There's no mics.
No.
So it's a lot of people just kind of drone on the honor system. Where like Overwatch, for example, is a very community-heavy game. And that tends to be like you get teams sometimes where it's just they will get stuff knocked down. You have a sniper covering the flank. You know, then you have like sentries covering their back and all this other stuff. So it's like one of those things where you don't necessarily get that here because there isn't as much communication and much smaller maps.
So I unlocked there's four game modes. There's basically a team deathmatch. Then there's like a 3-point like control. Like so you go and if you hold two of the points, you score points.
Yeah, territories.
And then a third one is basically King of the Hill. And then the fourth one is it's basically oddball. You grab a droid, and then as long as you have the droid, you score points. So it's they're all just very standard gameplay modes from other shooters, but they're generally fun.
Listen, sometimes they're not charging me any money. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's a model that works. You're not charging me. You're not being aggressive. Be like, you need to buy the battle pass. You need to buy the battle pass. I'm all for it.
Yeah, and like I'm consistently getting enough experience that I'm like unlocking stuff or getting closer to unlocking the next hero. I don't want to use those heroes, but like it's fun to like unlock stuff. It's fun to fill meters. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's why I'm also highly addicted to Overwatch. Not Overwatch, Fortnite.
Yeah. You should add me as a friend there. So I need to find three people to play so that I can unlock that mission. There's like a weekly. It's just like Fortnite, like where there's weekly challenges.
Yeah.
And one of them is have free three friends. I know two people that play it.
That the actual challenge is to have three friends.
Or, yeah, there's like a challenge for like have three friends or add three friends.
Okay.
There's there's like challenges for like playing in a party, and I'm like, that's probably never gonna happen.
Earl's like, yeah, I'll pretend to be your friend. Fine.
I was gonna say we could get a party. We got four people here.
Well, I thought like I am friends with Earl on Switch, so I thought I would just check. Probably. And it was like, but they make you create a new account with that, so I don't know what you signed up there. And when I searched, I couldn't find you. Anyway, Jeff, you play anything this past week? I know you did. But...
Yeah, I've been playing like quite a few things. I think I should probably like touch on the one game that's actually new, which is Super Monkey Ball Banana Rumble, I think is the name of it. I think. the names for their fucking the titles for their games have become like increasingly similar and just changing one word out.
That is Banana! That is it is the new game. It's a Switch game, Jeff?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the new one.
I think maybe it's not on other platforms yet. I'm sure it will be at some point. But anyways, it's like the first actual new Monkey Ball game in a long, long time. Like, they've put out Monkey Ball games in recent years that are basically like a re-release of the Wii game, a compilation of the games that everyone loves, some new, and it's actually really good. Like the main part of the Monkey Ball games, like the obstacle courses, mazes, whatever you want to call them. Like, you're trying to get to point A to point B to go through the goal. The levels on this one are pretty damn creative. And, there's like a level of polish to it. That just, it's like, oh, this is something new. Like, this is better. Like, even compared to some of the levels in the like original Monkey Ball games are like very much like, hopefully you get lucky and bounce the right way through the goal. Right. And here, very creative. Like, I'm not him, but I'm a decent way in. And there's some really cool fucking levels. Like, and just to give an example, there's one level. It's just kind of straight, like rectangle. Like it's like a flat surface. Going straight forward, like a path to go down. But instead of the goal being at the end of that path, the goal is in the air, and it's going up and down the path. And there's a bunch of ramps that you have to like fly off of to like hopefully catch the goal as it's passing that ramp.
And that's that pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. It's just like an example, like where you're like, oh, they have, like really have some creativity with what they're doing here. And that kind of also plays into the other like new thing about this one, which is like you could do spin dash, like picture Sonic.
Yeah.
Like the last new original Monkey Ball game they did, it was like jumping was the thing you could do. Here it's spin dash, and it plays into levels in clever ways, including here. You gotta go up off of ramps. Well, you gotta use the spin dash to go flying off the ramp. So, it's weird because like Monkey Ball, I feel like that type of game was like a bigger deal back on the GameCube originally. Whereas now it's like, I feel like the people who like Monkey Ball are people who like liked it back then, which by the way, like, am I the only person that plays this game? This by a lot.
I played Monkey Ball back on the GameCube and I think I died one of the 801s, but like, to your point, I do think it was a simple. I mean, they were essentially arcade games. And the more they tried to expand on it, the more complicated and less fun they became.
I think it was just like it was more impressive to get that game back on the GameCube. Like, oh, you could play an arcade style game, and I was just like, even to me, who I think this game is very good, I will play it for like a very short period of time and be like, all right, I'm going back to Elden Ring. Or whatever, like whatever bigger game I'm playing. Like, I don't sit down for Monkey Ball and play it for 2-3 hours. Like, that's just not right.
It's your Star Wars Hunters.
But it is, like, back in the day, I would have. All right? The other thing about it, back in the day, like, besides me, like, I always loved the single player part of it. Like, the, you know, going through, like, trying to reach the goal, like, you know. But back in the day, a lot of the reason college friends loved it is because they had the mini games like bowling, monkey target, monkey golf, right? And in this new one that has kind of like all gone, like there's still multiplayer. In fact, you could play the main campaign multiplayer with someone else, and that's actually like kind of really cool because like you could be going towards the goal and your friend or your wife or your partner, whatever. Like they could be going towards like getting the secret bananas and shit like that. Really cool, right? It's just a split screen. You could do it at the same time. I think you could play it on.
You play it online well. Too. That's cool.
Yeah. But then there is the multiplayer, like the mini games. And they kind of like threw in from fans of the series were like every fan of the series loves Monkey Target. Earl, you remember Monkey Target? We go flying off the ramp and try to like land that something in the water.
Terrible at it, but
I always really like. I would just like lose air under my wings and just crash like hundreds of feet before the target. But, anyways, like they like did away with all that. So like, you're not getting bowl golf and monkey target, and it's just a bunch of mini games that, in my opinion, like at least the best one of them feels inspired by Fall Guys. Where it's like, let's throw a bunch of balls on the stage and get to the end, like, the most... It's like a little ramp. I think you could, like, who could get to the end the most times or something like that? That was, like, one of the more compelling ones. Then there's, like, kind of a ripoff of Mario Kart, but, you know, just a half-assed, like, one-level thing. And, yeah, like, the online multiplayer is probably dead already. But as far as the core, like premise of these games, like the single player, I think it's really good in this one, and it would be fun to play with someone else. I actually did try it a little bit with my wife. It's a good game. Games like it would never be my like main game that I'm playing that month. You know, it's always going to be like I'll pass a couple levels and then I'm going to go play the actually playing.
Which I think it's always good to have like that.
Yeah.
Palette cleanser or, you know, change of pace game off on the side.
It's a hard sell to like tell someone go buy this game that you're gonna like play a level or two here or there. Like it's not gonna fill your gaming void on its own, unfortunately.
Right. So you're gonna need it's a secondary game. You're gonna need something else to go along with it.
I believe. Back in the day, I still remember, like, I remember playing Super Monkey Ball 1 with friends and just loving it. We fucking loved it. And then Super Monkey Ball 2 came out, like, a year later, maybe two at most, and being so hyped and excited for it, and then playing a shit out of that. And it's just, like, that's just a time that's gone now. Like, we're past that. And I guess, like, you know, people that love the series could revisit, like, you know, this is a good point to revisit it at. But, it's hard to imagine people, like, really sinking hundreds of hours in this or whatever.
But that's who they have to.
No, but it's just, it just feels, like, try to emphasize something that's hard to express. It just feels different now. What else have I played?
You play a little bit of Alone in the Dark.
I have, and that's a semi-new game. That's from this year. I think, Chris, you played through all that. I remember you telling us you liked it, I think.
I did. Right? I did like it, yeah.
I like it, too. It is... If people do not remember, this was like, you know, that new version of Alone in the Dark with David Harbour and, I think, Jodie Comer,
yeah.
Yeah. And... It got like pretty middling reviews, but
they weren't great.
All right, so I've played through a good portion of this. I've played through probably at least 3 hours of it, right?
Okay.
And survival horror games are not super long, right? So like, I have an idea of what this game is. And this is like super traditional classic survival horror game. Like, I think if you like this genre, this is definitely a game worth checking out. Like, it's not like groundbreaking anything in any way, I don't think. But, like, it's also not terrible. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's classic survival horror. Like,
just it's classic survival horror.
Looks good.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I was gonna say. It's survival horror, but with like modern graphics, voice acting, like real actors are doing it, right? Like, but it is the class. There's a thing in the garden, and you have to find like a hose piece to connect the, you know, a hose and fill up with water, like a well in the garden, and the well, you know, something will rise up, and you get the item, and that's like a key that gets you to the next door. It is exactly like if that's your jam.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's totally, like, so far anyways, it's totally filling that for me. Again, like, nothing like standing out, like, except, yeah, it looks better than many games in the genre do because they're older. But I don't see what's bad about it. Like, I don't understand, like, what the... Like, what the mixed reaction was to
it? I don't know, because I enjoyed, like...
Because, like, if you... It nails...
Yeah.
The genre.
And you know, I like Resident Evil, but a lot of the more recent Resident Evils have gotten away from, like, the weird puzzle solving.
They'll have sections, like the I think the last one had, like, a section where you, like, went into a house and you were doing that traditional stuff.
Yeah.
Or trying to find a key for the door, yeah, and the puzzles.
But, like, there's so much more of that here, and, like, combat is... Like, there is combat, but it's less the focus.
Yeah, there's... At least so far for me, there's been very few encounters. I will say that those encounters don't feel as good.
Absolutely not.
But... Not that Resident Evil feels good. Like, encounters are like... You're hanging on for dear life. It's the same here, but I just feel like the comic does not feel quite as good here. I do feel like some of the puzzles too. I was like, I just did this puzzle with a like a, what they call them, like a grandfather clock or whatever. Like a
yeah, some of them are wildly like obtuse. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Like, what are you? You know, I had to look it up, and I was like, man, I don't know how you were supposed to like figure that. But that's kind of how the genre has always been. Like, it's not.
Is that the one where you're like setting it based on like some notes you found or something?
Yeah, which
neat.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times, like, I will figure that out. Like, you'll come to a safe and you'll be like, oh, I have to know the code. You look through your notes, there's a note where someone said the code, right?
Right.
But this was like, yeah, this is a little more like, what? Like, how would I would think to figure that out? Okay. But that, again, that's kind of in the genre. I feel like if you're a survival horror fan, this is like a modern version of the old shit that you like. And I bought it on sale for $45 on Xbox. I can't tell you because I'm not done with it yet. But like, if I think that's a good value or not, all I can tell you is that if you're a fan of that genre, this is definitely worth checking out. It's pretty fucking cool so far.
Agreed. I think you also said that you bought the digital version, and I probably would too, because I'll pay a premium to not have to get a disc. But the disc version was cheaper, I believe, this week.
Yeah, too. Oh yeah. The disc version is like $30 on Amazon. I don't know if it still is at the time of this recording, but like 2 days ago it was.
Yeah.
But I was like, I just hate... Honestly, if I get a game on a disc at this point, it makes me less likely to replay it or anything like that, because I just... It's just... I don't like it anymore. I want everything to be digital and at my fingertips constantly without me having to get up, swap disc out, anything like that. Yeah. I'm trying to think... What else?
Elden Ring yet?
Yes, yes. That's the other thing I guess I could touch on. Finish Elden Ring DLC, and I know I went on about it like a lot 2 weeks ago, and none of my opinion has really changed having beaten it. It is really cool level design and really cool, like amazing looking, you know, art. And I just don't like the, like, I'm sorry, I don't think the bosses are good or fun to they're bosses for people who are really, really good at Elden Ring, and to challenge them and push them and make them like tear their hair out for beating it. And it's just like, I'm not that. And the bosses sucked, and it was a slog to get through. And, you know, there's this balance that you have to strike with where, like, yeah, you want the bosses to feel challenging. And, like, yeah, maybe I have to fight a boss 20 times before I beat it or whatever. But for it to feel fun and fair, and, like, these bosses, like, it's just like, dude, as soon as you walk into the room, they're, like, pushing you back up against the fog gate. Like, oh, Jesus, bam, 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 I'm dead. Okay. That wasn't fun. Like,
yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I watched somebody walk through the gate and then, like, immediately get hit with a ranged attack that killed them instantly.
Like, I saw someone, like...
How would you know that?
I saw someone trying to go through the gate. Like, their friends had already gone through. Like, their friends had gone through. And they were fucking ranged attacked and went through the gate into the fucking room before and killed them. And I'm just like, alright.
That's cheap. That's some cheap bullshit.
Yeah, and that's just, like, insane. Like, it I don't know. Like, it's fun to me. Like, to me, the most useful and fun thing about, like, the DLC was, like, you do get a ton of new, like, weapons and, like, armor and, like, cool shit like that. That, like, is, you know, if you go back into the main game, you can use that shit, obviously. That's the kind of the, like, that alone is worth getting it for. But it is, like, I personally don't love the DLC and, like, would never recommend it to, like, I would never be like, you gotta get the complete edition of Elden Ring. I would probably tell most people, like, yeah, just get the base game. That's the masterpiece. This is, like, for freaks that want to be, like, humiliated over and over. Again, some, like, there's some things I really, like, love about the DLC, but, like, I'm not on board with saying it's great or as good as the base game. In fact, in my opinion, it's just not as good as the base game. It's just not. Base game is just a million times better, but
all right.
Yeah, I'm done with that. I'm actually still playing Elden Ring, but, like, I don't think there's anything more for me to add. I'm, like, I'm playing through with my new character, and I'm going into the DLC to see how it feels with a character who's on new game instead of new game plus, right?
Right.
But I doubt I'll have much to add to this in the future. I'll still be playing it. Again, this DLC got me to play this game again. And probably for a couple months, but I don't think I have much to add to the hours I've already talked about it.
Fair enough. Tony, you play anything else besides Immortals of Avium?
I don't think I played anything that I hadn't discussed a lot already.
No, I talked a lot about Dragon's Dogma last week, and I also said I don't think I'm gonna play much more. And then I proceeded to play about 5 more hours and beat the game, like beat the end game piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like the end game at all.
Not worth, like, doing that.
It's just kind of like, so they said, like, and Jeffy, unfortunately, like, we just, Tony was like, hey, are we recording, like, 5 minutes before? I was like, oh, yeah, I guess we are. And so we just recorded. But, yeah, so, like, beat the game, and beating the final boss, easy. Like, I hit that at 47. Had to dismiss your pawn and Tony's pawn.
Oh, dear.
Bring in some new pawns that weren't getting, like, one-hit killed by the final boss. But this new game area... You come in, you have to go find your pawn, and then you're given a quest. And, like, I don't know, the entire game has been just kind of dick around, go explore and shit. And the world's changed. All the water's gone, so now there's, like, these deep caverns and canyons where the oceans used to be and the rivers. And so, like, I go and do that, and really what you're supposed to do is immediately beeline to the quest marker and start the quest, because there's a timer going on in the background, and every time you rest, which you probably do a lot, because if you get hurt, you lose parts of your health bar, and you don't get that back unless you fully rest. Well, resting in the end game pushes the calendar forward, and this like ooze, this like fog from the outside is creeping in, and if it overtakes a settlement that you were supposed to be evacuating, which you find out from the main quest, you'll lose that settlement. Like, it's just gone, and you can't rescue the people there. You can't fight the boss for that area. I don't think it locks you out completely, but if you don't do everything, if you don't rescue the people in the 12 days that there are, so 12 rests, it will basically throw you right into the end game. And if that you won't get, and you won't get the proper ending. I did end up getting the proper ending. Saving everybody is pretty easy. You just go to the town, and it's quest where you talk to people. And they also give you fairy stones. They give you a handful of fairy stones, but they also open up port crystals that were hidden in all these other areas that don't have them. So, like, there's one in Vernworth, which is the main town. There's one.
I found one in my whole playthrough. Yeah.
Which they're is rare. Probably the one in the main city, right? Like that first main city.
Well, I had two total, so yeah, okay. It was Vernworth and whatever the fuck.
The other big city, or
yeah.
Like I had to lay one down there, like
so, yeah, okay. I laid one down like right outside, kind of. There's like kind of three directions you can go from there.
Yeah,
I put it like right at that cross section.
So like they give you sub though, or like, hey, do you want to travel to, you know, the Arbor, which is where the elves live? Do you want to travel back to the volcanic island? So these are all settlements. You're supposed to go and start a mission, basically talk to a couple people, and then they go talk to some other people. Then they go, okay, go back and talk to the original person. And they're like, okay, we'll evacuate. And like the town just empties out. And then you can fight the boss for that area, which is one of two different dragons. There's one with kind of like these spiky things on them. Like if you fought the dragon in Bakbatal, you have to like climb to the top of this thing, and the dragon has like these pus-filled nodules on it that if you shoot it, they explode. There's like a one in the end game that is kind of like that, but it's like these glowy bits.
So I got a few of those on myself as well.
Yeah, standard Capcom kind of boss encounter. Or there's a dragon that's like a snake, and you shoot the back. Like there's glowy bits on the back, and you shoot or attack those bits. And as you pull each section, like that part of it like goes black and dies off until you get to the end. So each of the sections has one of them that you have to fight.
Yeah, I remember that.
And after you beat all of them, then it opens up the final area. They're like, hey, you saved everybody. Good for you. You have nothing left to do in this world. You should close it out. And you go to the final area, you pull out the sword or whatever, and brings you to a final encounter where the credits are playing, and you just climb on a dragon until you get like over its heart and then attack it.
Do you get New Game Plus or no?
You can get New Game Plus immediately from
before that.
Yeah, so like if you just beat the regular game, you can get New Game Plus. Like, because to unlock the end game stuff, you have to go talk to a a character during the credits of the original boss battle. So like there's, you beat the first boss in the main game, and then you're in a crowning ceremony, and instead of sitting on the throne, which is what it wants you to do, you're supposed to go talk to this glowy blue guy. And if you talk to him multiple times, it'll unlock the...
Man, you are starting to sound like an Elden Ring player. This is Elden Ring shit.
It's nutso, like, because otherwise you'd be like, oh, I beat the game, but there's all these achievements for doing stuff in the end game. And I would not have known if I hadn't, like, you know, looked it up on the internet or whatever and watched a video on how to do it. Yeah, it's all really goofy, and it's not worthwhile, I don't think. You do get New Game Plus. You can jump into, you have to do that whole prison section again, where, you have to like move the rocks and then fight the Gorgon that comes in, and then make the escape out of the prison and jump off. And then once you get there, then it's like once you get to that first camp encounter. And you get your chest, all your items are in there. You can equip them all. You can change your vocations, which are already all leveled up. Whatever you've leveled up, and you find out, like, you know, I think I finished the game at level 53. It was like, and you're now level 53. So same with your pawn. But it's not like New Game Plus, I guess. And I don't know, like I started playing it just to like see, and all the enemies in that first area were just going down with one hit. And I brought your pawn and Tony's pawn back in, and they were killing things again, like immediately.
Yeah.
So it's not like the game is harder. It's just, you can do it again, I guess. If you want.
I think some of the bosses and shit will probably... At least that's how Elden Ring is. It's like, yeah, you can still kind of plow through shit because you're so powerful. But like, when there's points you'll hit, you'll be like, oh shit, you'll be humbled again. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
Yeah. I didn't dig too far into it. It was just like, all right, well, I can bring Amelia and Cid back, and they can kill things with me. And there are stuff that, like, you can accidentally lock yourself out of quests because they're timed. So like, a quest marker may pop up, or you'll get a quest, but if you don't follow through with it quick enough, like, you'll get an alert that says, like, hey, that's not available anymore. Like, I got this quest for the Phantom Ox Cart, but I didn't do it, and then I got an alert saying that, like, that quest is no longer available, and nobody's seen the Phantom Ox Cart in weeks now. So I guess, like, you could go and do those quests, because they'd reopen again. Anyway, I don't recommend doing the endgame shit in Dragon's Dogma 2. It's not worthwhile to me. There is a cool vocation, though, called Warfarer that you can get towards the end of the game. And that vocation levels up every other vocation. So you just equip that one. It allows you to do whatever you want. So if you want to be an archer or a mage, you can equip those skills and that equipment, and you can switch at will with the touch of a button. And it also levels up all the other vocations. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I've been playing, though. So
you guys want to hear the one game that's me away from Elden Ring?
What's that?
Diablo 4, and I won't go into it because this is an established game. I made a rogue, and I've never played rogue.
They're fun.
Yeah, it is. There are a few like different moves that feel too close to me, like they're too much of the same move where you can throw like a giant spear. Chris, I don't know if you remember this. It's fucking like, whomp, and it like goes through every enemy right in front.
Yeah.
Are you on the screen? It's like, that feels so good. It's kind of pulling me away from Elden Ring. Like, I think on this show, I'm in the minority in that, like, nobody likes it, but I really liked Diablo 4, and going back to it now, I'm like, yeah, I still like it.
Diablo 4?
Thank you, girl.
I don't dislike it. I like, it's not my favorite. But I finished it.
It does what it needs to do.
I think it is my
favorite. I think it's one of those genres of games where I probably just don't have expectations for. I play it with friends, we kill a bunch of stuff. I get a skill tree, I get a bunch. I know people go in depth with it, and I get new stuff. Green numbers go up, red numbers get sold or jumped or whatever.
I think that was my problem with it. Was that like the green numbers weren't going up enough. Like, I would get stuff, but it mostly junk. Like, I was junking almost everything. I wasn't consistently getting equipment.
That was my problem. Problem with the end game. Like post campaign, right? Once I was post campaign, I was getting nothing. Nothing better. Nothing at all. So far on this playthrough, obviously, I'm getting like everything I'm getting is better, but I'm in the first 2 hours of the game.
But they also changed it, right? They changed.
Well, that's another thing. It is the season of loot, or something like that. It's literally called like the season of loot.
I think it's called Loot Reborn.
Yeah, so it's I think it goes through August or something. Like, there's a few months left to it, so I will get through like this campaign with it. So maybe that's it. But like, if this season is just making the loot better, like, do that all the time, because. The fuck? I don't know. I really like the game when I like it. It is like fun to try this new class out. I forgot there's something else. Oh, here's the thing, and I don't know if this is like some update that they did or it was always like this. Like, if it's just a function of having beaten the campaign once. But when I made a new character, like, there were less things to get done. Like, right away, I had my horse. Which, you don't get the horse until, like, Act 4 or some shit in the fucking, like, the first time you're playing that game.
But I thought once you got the horse, you got the horse in general.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's not, like, an update. But it is weird to play a new character and like start from scratch, but also not start from scratch, because like you get that. Any of the statues of statues of Lilith are already found and applied to you. So it's like there's a little less joy in playing through the campaign again, because it's just like you know, it's giving you less like it's giving you less like, you know, advancements, like, you know, like, oh, you got this. It's like, you got it, but I'm having fun. Like, it is really pulling me away from Elden.
It is nice that they have that where there are certain kind of permanent upgrades that work. And I think one of the upgrades or some of them is like, if you complete certain quests, it's like you can carry X number of vials of health, and that's
I got all of them.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that, like, and my wife right away, she saw me play it. She's like, "How the fuck do you have 9 healths already?" I'm like, "They gave you all this shit." Like, and again, I was like wondering, because I hadn't played it so long. I was like, "Is this an update they did to make it easier, or if it was always that way?" Like, once you beat the campaign, they give you all these like cool things that made the campaign more fun. Yeah, I don't know. To me, it's kind of a loss, because like I like finding the Lilith statues and that, like.
So, yeah, so that stuff was always account-wide. So anything you find on one character, it travels over to another. Also, what are those points you get? Like that you can apply them after you reach like a certain level. Like they all apply too. So any of the bonuses that you buy with those points.
Oh, like... You think it would be a rewards, like, no, maybe it's not those.
I can't think of what the term is, but there's like, it's part of your skill tree, but it's like another tab over any of those points that you get they go across the board. So it's like 0.03 addition to attack. If you have that on one of your characters, it applies to all of them.
I mean, it's, I can see going both ways on it. And that's why I wish they give you the option, like, hey, do you want this to be a completely fresh character?
What
like,
I was
completely fresh, you know?
I was wondering, and I don't know, is that what hardcore is? Or no? Because I know hardcore is like, if they die, they're dead permanently.
That's what hardcore is. It's,
I didn't know if it was also like, you don't you start from the ground floor as well.
I don't know. I don't know.
I've never run a hardcore.
I wouldn't do it. Personally, I just feel like it would be no.
I remember Fozzie.
He
had like a level 99 Diablo 2 hardcore character that got fucked up because his connection got low. it sucks.
He actually staged his own little mini funeral.
Man, I could never do it. I could never do hardcore. That's just too crazy. Like, even if you put the game on easy, I would be like, I don't know. Maybe I mess up at some point. Like, I don't want to lose like 30 hours of playing this. Like,
yep,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to the that expansion though.
I'm getting it. I'm definitely getting it.
I think that's what's that, November?
October 8th.
Okay.
It's the next thing I'm looking forward to be honest. I think.
Oh my god. Really?
Well, what's coming?
It's coming out. So many games.
What's the next thing I would play?
I think my list is very different.
Oh, actually, I have a few actually coming very soon. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it maybe at the end of the show. Like, there's stuff coming out.
Yeah, Tony, you your list maybe not the same as Jeff's.
Jeff, are you interested in Songs of Steel Hispania? Probably not.
Jeff, have you heard of Songs of Steel Hispania?
What about Renaissance Kingdom Wars?
Again, I think you're just making this stuff up as you go.
Yeah, it's like, are you playing like educational games for kids in schools?
Flintlock, the Siege of Dawn. That is actually a game you might want to play.
Renaissance Kingdom Wars is a legitimate game name, guys.
Yes. Star Wars Outlaws. That's coming out way before that.
Yeah. No? You're right.
It's August 30th. I'm hyped for that one.
I gotta look into it. I have honestly not watched the like long previews or anything of that, so I gotta see, but maybe.
So Jeff, we briefly talked about this last week. I think Earl and I both said Balatro. Tony, I'm drawing a blank on what you had as your
Helldivers 2.
So what is like, you know, halfway through the year, what is your current game of the year if we were to do that today?
Current game of the year?
Yeah.
You said Balatro?
Yeah, both me and Earl.
Oh yeah, it's mine as well.
There we go. So, yeah, Tony.
Probably should play that, huh?
Maybe you should play it.
It's a no-brainer, dude. Like, it's poker. You're going to love it, dude.
Hate poker. Terrible game.
You're going to like I think it maybe speaks to weak competition, but, like, it just is. It's like... It's like when I played Splendor for the first time, where I was like, oh, well, this is like a new game that's going to endure forever. Like, people are going to... That's how I felt about Balatro playing it. I was just like, yeah, this is such a fun spin on poker. Like, no one's going to forget this. Like, that's going to be released on every system going forward forever, like Pac-Man. So, yeah, highly recommend, dude.
It seems to be doing really well, so... I didn't realize it was on Xbox, but is that where you're playing it at, Jeff? Or are you playing it on Switch? Or?
Oh, yeah, Switch.
Switch, yeah.
Is it on Xbox?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. I thought it was Switch only.
It has come out on Xbox.
What? Oh, man.
Evidently,
here I go spending more money for no reason.
It evidently came out pretty early on, too. Said. True Achievements has it as a release date of 20th of February 2024. So Just been sitting there all this time.
Is that the same as the Switch?
I think it is. I think it's the same as when it came out on everything else.
Maybe you just played it on Switch and I just assumed it. I don't know. For whatever reason, I thought it was a Switch exclusive. But you know what? It is like perfect for Switch, dude. It is. You could play watching TV like easily. It's so perfect for Switch. So I would almost recommend it for that.
Quattro.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it was on everything, but yeah. Again, I got it on this. And again, it's a great. Not to say that I would ever do this, but you know, like you're working from home, and it's a show day. It's very nice to just kind of have the Switch in your app and play games. Again, not saying I would ever buy her.
Never, never.
What's good about it is like because it's you know it's hand based, so like you're play hand. You get to put the Switch down for a minute and like
yeah, do some work. Take a hit off the goal. Fucking
win. Right.
Yeah. And again, a very minor thing because it doesn't matter. But also, I do like that it's also if you play handheld, it is touch based as well. So it's easier to just do stuff like that. Though, just to give you the heads up, Jeff, because apparently Chris didn't know this last week, is you can rearrange the cards. And the
oh, that's how I won. Yeah, you gotta. Like, you'd be like, you put the plus before times, right?
Yeah.
The order of operations. Yeah. I didn't realize that was how it was calculating. And
my friend,
Earl told me.
My friend came over one weekend and he went into detail. Like, he was like drawing charts and graphs for me on the fucking wall. He's like, when it's plus, you put the plus on the left, you want to put all the times multipliers on the end. I was like, I always thought like, it didn't matter the order. It's like no, it definitely matters the order.
It does because plus two and times two are slightly different because if you just do plus two at the end, like if it's one times two is going to be two. That's going to be okay. That's a terrible example. Let's go with two. If you add, you know, if it's plus, that's going to be six. Where if you do it plus two then times two, that's going to be eight. And just that's oh yeah, two different. That adds up over time.
Yeah, thinking about it, it does make sense, but like you just kind of assume the game will like do that kind of shit for you, but it's like, no, it goes left to right, so you have to think about what your hand is left to right up top
because I guess you know the logic is depending on the joker, the game might think you because let's say you have a joker, and this you know, this comes into play at some point. Let's say you have a joker that gives you plus, but it's a polychrome joker. You don't like it. It does give you a multiplier, but it also gives you a plus. Where would you put that first? I mean, I kind of want it in the middle, so it gives you the. Because I think it gives you the card first and then the card type. I forget the order of that. But yeah, stuff like that. Where again, like yesterday, playing after work hours, I just had a hand that was all flushes. I can make flushes out of four cards. And then I lucked in, like, the first two jokers I got was, like, you know, any flush, you get plus, plus four multiplier, any flush, you get plus 50 chips. And then I got a card that's, like, any hand you play that is, like, four cards, you get a 1.5 multiplier. Then I just got, you know, so then I just rolled the dice on a bunch of, spectral cards where like, oh, you're like 1 in 4 chance of turning your joker into something to do that. So I got through, I think, anti 11 with that. But then that thing just jumps so much, it's insane. Where I was I was able to clear like 2 million, and then it's like, yes, now you need to clear 700. Now you need to clear 7 million. I'm like, yeah, that's not gonna happen. At best, my hands are pulling maybe 500,000, and I'm not going to do that in 5 hands. I was just like, I'm going to play this, but it was a good hand, a good run. So yeah, again, a really charming game.
I mean, again, I think it is a game that is new, that will live forever, get re-released on everything forever going forward. And I think it's great. Like, I think Tony will agree with us when he plays it. It's kind of crazy that, so like, wait, both Chris and Earl think that Blatcher's game of the year so far?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. But the thing is, like, I don't know, what would be number two to you? Like, because, like, I think it's partially a function of it being, like, kind of a weak year.
Sure. Let me. I could tell you. Bring up my list. So, Prince of Persia, Lost Crown.
It's my number. Prince of Persia. Yeah. Okay. I can see that. Earl.
Again, I think I would need to play more games to kind. Because again, ideally, right now, my second one, the one I paid the most time with, would be Paper Mario, but I wouldn't consider that on the year contender yet. I think Prince of Persia, if I put more time into it, would be up there.
You could be like me. Game made me throw me mad.
I mean, yeah, we will see.
I'm telling you, Chris probably won't agree with you. There's things that are like really tough in that, and it's annoying. Like I hate it.
Oh, there's annoying aspects to it, but like I enjoyed playing it.
Totally get it. It's super quality game. Like, it's
oh no, I know. I know what my second one is right now. It'd be Star Wars Hunters.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun game.
I have not tried that yet. That's on everything, I'm assuming.
No, just it's on Switch and mobile.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that one is, that's so weird too. Like that should be a game that should be on everything, but.
I think because the Switch is portable at that, but yeah, there's no reason it shouldn't be on everything. But yeah, it's maybe they just think the audience, maybe they think the audience is on PlayStation and Xbox and PC are probably too hardcore for that.
It's like it's kind of just like the perfectly goofy 3D shooter because like third person shooter because like. It works. The Star Wars-ness is so light, but it's that 5 minute gameplay.
Yeah,
like you have a 5 minute clock, and you could just sit down, and 5 minutes later, game's over.
Very simple loop. Yeah.
Tony, what was your number two?
Dragon's Dogma 2 right now.
Yeah,
that will not survive the rest of the year.
No,
there's no way.
It's turned into a pretty well situated back half of the year. So,
Jeff,
what would you be your number?
Oh, my number two, Animal Well.
Okay,
I know I've talked about that much on here because I stopped playing it. For the reason I said, which is like it was so perfect, like the 3 hours or so I played of it was so perfect. I didn't want to like mar it in any way. But at that, I will go back to Animal Well at some point. But yeah, like Animal Well is really special. If you, I don't know, if you like games that are just about like exploration, rise, and in that Metroidvania genre, like it's really fucking awesome. And I don't know, again, I think the reason I stopped is I was just like, just leave it at that. That was really fun what you played so far, which is such a weird thing because would you want to see what the rest of it is, which I one day I will.
You're like, no I don't. I don't see a lot in the next couple weeks, but I think once August hits, things start heating up a bit.
I may or may not get a game next week. We'll see how I'm feeling. It's not a new game, but Ninja Turtles game from Apple Arcade.
Oh, yeah.
The consoles next week, so.
There are interesting, I think it's next week. There's like some interesting Game Pass games. Like, damn it. There's Flintlock, it's kind of like a Dark Souls-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Dungeons of Command.
Hinterberg, right?
Hinterberg or Hinterland, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Hinterberg?
Yeah, Hinterberg.
So you guys Dungeons of Hinterberg? Like, it was on the Xbox Showcase last year. I think we all were like, oh, that looks cool.
Yeah, I mean we talked about it privately, but yes.
I don't know about you guys. I'm gonna be playing that for sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a shot. Yeah, there's that. That's the 18th, so probably not. Maybe we'll have played a bit of it. And also, what'd you say Flintlock is like, though, Jeff?
Like, it's like a Dark Soul. It's like by the people who made Ashen, which was like a Dark Souls ripoff. I'm interested. I'm gonna check it out. Like the trailer, like Ashen was, I thought, pretty low budget. And then never, like, these people are that copy them, but this looked like I'll try it out for free. You know what I mean?
Right. So yeah, Dungeons of Hinterberg is the 18th. Flintlock is the 18th, and also Nintendo World Championships.
Is anyone getting that?
I don't think so. It's a cool idea, but
it's for free, maybe.
Yeah.
If it was free, if it was like fucking, you know, Tetris 99, like, here you go. I don't know if I'd pay for. God bless. If you're going to buy it, go for it. But I have no interest.
It's what? Why is it? It's $30. That's not bad.
No, it's not bad. But I just, me personally, have no real interest in that. Like,
yeah, I want to see. I want to see how people kind of react to it.
Yeah,
if it's actually fun, like the little mini game stuff they have. We'll see. But yeah, we'll have some stuff. Maybe Earl will have, what is that, Splintered Fate?
Yeah.
That's the one. So maybe if he's feeling good, we'll have Splintered Fate on. That's coming to the Switch after being locked on Apple. So.
Renaissance Kingdom Wars.
Renaissance Kingdom Wars. Can't forget that one. Is that actually out next week?
Comes out on the 15th.
How do you keep it? He's made up getting in your head.
I have a spreadsheet. I keep track.
Okay. That's good, because I'm looking at a list of like...
These games aren't on there. You're like...
Well, yeah. That's, what is this game? 2024 in video games on Wikipedia does not have...
Songs of Steel Hispania came out today. I'm just saying. Like, it's out there. You could play it right now if you wanted to.
That's also not a game that unfortunately made the Wikipedia entry. You should actually go in and edit those in. Like, what are these games?
How could you leave these out? I mean, clearly you're doing a disservice to humanity. You need to tell people about these.
So Tony might have some strategy games for us next week. All right. Well, everyone enjoy their weekend. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.